Hello and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shea Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
This is New Retirement Radio with the team from Prout Financial Design.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC.
Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with a financial professional.
And we have one today live in the studio. Certified financial planner Dennis Prout is in for another edition of New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design in Traverse City. Good morning, sir.
It's great to be here on Thursday, the 25th of July, July 2019. Thank you. Thank you, Ron. And we have with us today Heidi Thompson and Shay Pataj.
Hello. It's good to be back.
Heidi is a financial professional.
It has.
Heidi is a financial professional licensed through Genios Financial Advisors, and I am a independent advisor representative of Capital Asset Advisory Services, and we have a lot to talk about today. We are, like, full of information, hopefully, that you will find informational and interesting. And we're not going to talk about politics today. Shall we change the subject?
Everyone
is full of politics, I think. A bet. What is that bet?
I don't know. I'll think of it. It will involve coffee and chocolate.
Okay, well, that's a much better subject.
Okay.
Yes. So, Ron,
yes,
to begin the show, you had made mention this morning, and I thought it was very enlightening, and it kind of goes right along with a subject du jour, which we speak of this morning, of the government debt. So you made several prescient comments that I thought were very interesting about, frankly, your own frustration and your thinking about the debt. So if you would kind of go into that again, please.
$21 trillion and counting.
Yeah.
Who is going to stop it? Who's going to stop the spending? I don't see any way that a leader can emerge without being suffocated by there's so many people that receive money from the federal government. Any talk of cuts will be met with a lot of opposition. And politicians who don't want to be opposed, they want to be reelected, will give in. And so I don't see any way I hate to be a downer, but I don't see any way that the debt is ever going to be cut. But that's okay. Nobody seems to care about it anyway.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
You actually mentioned Perot as well.
You said,
you know, he was mildly interesting back in the day.
Yeah.
Well, when was that? The 80s? Whatever it was.
90s. It was the 90s, yeah.
Okay, early 92, I think he was running. And anyway, and actually got some say he stole it from Bush, but that's a political issue. But what was really going on was, he was trying to promote or talk about the debt at the time, which is probably, frankly, $4 trillion. I don't know what it was at that point in time. And now, today, 21, as you say, almost approaching the total assets in retirement accounts, which are about $29 trillion, which is a subject we're going to be talking about today as well. But the huge government debt. So, in essence, you're saying, why wouldn't I try to get my own $1,000 a month?
Yeah, there's a Democratic candidate who's campaigning on the universal personal income would give $1,000 a month to everybody. That's my guy.
Wow.
You're a one-issue guy here.
I'm taking it now. I'm being a little flip about that. But
yeah.
What difference at this point would it make? I mean, the budget's it's $21 trillion. The deficit's going up. Trump is criticized as much as his predecessor for allowing the spending to go up. But he did try to cut a few programs. In Michigan, for instance, the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative,
mm-hmm.
$300 million a year. Not a big part of the budget, but he was met with huge opposition. Couldn't even trim it, all or nothing. So he put it all in there because he wanted,
As you say, the political will is not there to cut the debt. The debt is not going to be cut. the debt will be inflated to such a degree through the decline of our currency that we're not going to see a debt payoff. One way or another, the debt payoff will not happen because the people are not going to demand it, as you say. The political will is not there because there's not a politician willing to sacrifice themselves at that stake. And that's what it would be.
So it's not something that people confront every day. But already with interest rates going up slightly, the amount that we pay our interest payments on the debt have gone up. And I'm just trying to think, how will people be impacted by an ever-growing debt? So part of it is fewer services from the government because more of the money pays the interest, right?
Well, more money pays the interest, but the debt goes up. They just made it unlimited for the next 2 years. So that's an issue. That's an issue that's a non-issue, Ron. The spending is not going to go down. So in essence, what has to give? The value of our currency. And the debt, again, will not get paid off. There's no political will to make that happen. So what's happened in every government since it began? Basically, it's what did Ronald Reagan say? It's similar to a baby, you know, unending appetite at one ending at one end, and a, usually a really mess at the other, a big mess at the other.
Right.
That's kind of what it is.
So, when you say our currency will be damaged, what does that mean?
Our currency will continue to fall in value at versus the price of gold. The price of gold is a very good indicator of what's happening with our currency. In 2015, the price of gold was about $1,040 an ounce. If you switch those numbers a bit, what's the current price of gold right now? About
$1,400. $1,400, so it's up $100.
$400. It was about $1,000.
Okay, $1,000, okay.
In 15. So it's up 40%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's all not due to our currency, but a lot of it is related. Usually, gold is a protective measure against a declining currency. So given our debt, Debbie Downer, there it is, increasing, some other pull or push has to happen. And that push is real currency, whether it's silver and or gold. That's why we've seen, I think, a significant increase in the price of gold this year. Now, because we're talking about this, we have to have a rather extensive disclosure. All right, are you ready for this?
Ready.
This is really
bedtime stories.
Okay, everyone's on the edge of their seat. Either that or just admiring the weather. Is this nuts right now? Oh, my gosh, is it gorgeous up here. We take a rabbit trail thinking about the drive-in. So here we go. All investments involve risk. Coins and bullion are no exception. The value of bullion and coins is affected by many economic circumstances, including the current market price of bullion, the perceived scarcity of the coins, and other factors. Therefore, because both bullion and coins, now we're not going to talk about collectible coins, but in case we did, and coins can go down as well as up in value, investing in them may not be suitable for everyone.
Go figure.
You're good with that? Mm-hmm. Since all investments, including bullion and coins, can decline in value, you should understand them well and have adequate cash reserves and disposable income before considering a bullion or coin investment. Gold funds or ETFs, exchange-traded funds, seek to reflect the performance of the price of gold bullion. There is no actual ownership of that gold bullion. Thank you.
Yeah. Wait, what?
That was quite a disclosure.
As you speak, there's a commercial on television about buying silver.
Well, and that's what, you know, so many people don't know what to do with it. You know, you get these weird people hawking this stuff. You know, do I even want to be involved? Well, it is an asset like every other asset. It has its positives and its negatives. Are you looking to diversify? Possibly, then it could possibly make sense. Am I hawking that this morning? No, I'm simply talking about, we're talking about the direct relationship between those. And even the most conservative, from what I've seen, the people that I look to, advisors, money managers, are now looking at gold with, that's interesting, given its recent moves. So they're simply looking to profit from a price move in something. But they're also looking at why this is happening. So the Fed's about face. What does this mean? At the beginning of this year, can I mention a fun company, Heidi? I'm on the edge there, aren't I?
I think you're living on the edge, Dennis.
Yeah, see, I'm living on the edge anyway. So Vanguard yesterday we were sitting with. I just dive right in. The advisor from Vanguard Funds, and in his eyes got why he was surprised to even say this. He said at the beginning of this year, he said all of our advisors or economic people were saying that they thought the interest rate was going to increase twice this year by the Fed, twice. Mm-hmm. Now, he said, well, then they moved to one time. It was going to increase once. Then it was no increase. He said, then it was one decline. He said, now two declines. So he said the difference in there, 1%, 1%, and he's excited about it. Well, that is a huge move or change from the Fed. They are saying, Vanguard and several other money managers, including, I won't mention the others. I'm already in deep water. So one cut in interest rates the end of this month and another one at the end of this year. Probably 50 basis points or a half a percent from those from, you know, the street where you live. Huge change in interest rate. That is going to be very interesting in terms of our currency and in terms of our stock market, which we talked about. Right now, we're at about 27,000 as measured by the Dow. I'll just say this. It's going to be a very interesting year. We've not seen, I cannot honestly recall the first 6 months of a year like we've just seen, dynamic in terms of price moves in United States stock market and volatile. Almost as volatile as the local gas price, right? That's crazy. 10% up, 10% down in a day. So there you have it. We're seeing huge price changes because of the change in interest rate environment. So those financing debt, you know, looking to refinance a mortgage, hold on to your hats. You may have an opportunity. Those who are savers, CD savers, interest rate savers, you're getting chucked out the window on this one. That's just plain and simply what's going on.
Some people may, like some of the CD rates might have been as high as 2.5-3% months ago. If you locked in then, you are locked in though, right?
Right, you're locked in. But for those who are trying to buy now, you might still scoot in if you're lucky. But rates are coming down. Yeah. Rates are coming down, and surprisingly by a significant amount. And that will drive the economy forward and thus the stock market. We have lots to talk about. Let's take a break, shall we?
We shall take a quick break.
More info. We got some Shay stats to start off this part of the show with. Let's hit those right away.
All right, we got some Shay stats here for you. So, as of 3/31/19, so that would be March. No.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. March, yes. I can't even, I don't want to think about it.
End of the first quarter.
I've blocked that out of my memory, that thing called winter. The U.S. economy was $21 trillion in size. So as of March in 1969, so 50 years ago, the U.S. economy was only $1 trillion in size. Hmm. What does that mean?
It means the gross domestic product, the total product of our economy, has gone up by 21 times. Since 60 years ago. That's a nice 50, increase. Yep. And I don't have my calculator with me to determine what that percentage is, but it's significant. Our economy, what it's producing.
So it's basically
amazing.
Bigger. It's basically bigger. A lot bigger.
It's a lot bigger.
So the output's $21 trillion a year. That's also our debt level. Does that have any correlation? Or
No.
No.
Well, the government can certainly, through its borrowings, encourage some economic growth, but it also encourages that through controlling their costs. Try to deal with that. Because they compete directly with companies for money.
Ah.
Money.
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 The cost of money.
All right, I got the next one. When comparing the first 5 months of 2019 to the first 5 months of 2018, Chinese exports to the United States have fallen 12%, while American exports to China have fallen 19%.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. U.S. manufacturers have moved some of their supply chains away from China in 2019, increasing imports from Taiwan up 22%, from India up 12%, and from South Korea up 12%.
So these companies that got shut off, in essence, from China because they're no longer competitive due to that price change, those tariffs that are out there, they look to other suppliers. So it's the same thing that happens with tax. If taxes go up, which we're going to see in the fall, the stealth tax, referred to as the Secure Act by our federal government, what happens? People head for the hills in one way or another. So whenever, and you know this, Ron, whenever there's a change in the cost of any product, what do? You say, you know, you might decide to buy it, or you might look at an alternative place for that same commodity, if you will. So as that commodity, the tax increases, companies look to other places for that same product, and there's where China is really getting hurt. So those tariffs have made a difference for sure in the company's willingness to buy goods from China, looking for alternatives.
Yeah.
And those companies then are incentivized in other countries to produce those products.
Yeah.
Even though that cost may be a bit higher than China, hopefully they make it up in quality and or amounts, right?
All right, more Shea stats?
I just wanted to read those to keep everybody fired up. But we'll go back to the topic, which is actually just firing everybody up more. Well, and you guys went to a conference last week. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you can talk about that a little bit more, but you were both texting me all the great information you were learning.
It was crazy. So much so. It was so good. It was encouraging because... And they've commented, you know, people were not leaving the class to go get their messages, that sort of thing. These classes over the two-day period were jam-packed with great information, advanced planning. And that's what we're going to be looking at. Because taxes are coming up, there is now, I think, no better time to do planning than it is right now, given the increasing taxes we're going to be looking at, the stealth tax through what's called the Secure Act that is most certain to pass in the fall. They said at the conference, the Secure Act is a done deal.
And I forget what that one is. That is what?
It's about changing the retirement plan rules and regulations. One relatively minor one is they're going to change the RMD age from 70.5 to 72. Who would have ever thought? At Ed Slott's recommendation, he said 72 is the right age to make this. You know, dump the 70.5. Well, it appears they're going to do that. Now, the House has already also authorized that contingent beneficiaries, generally children, will have to take their distributions over a 10-year period. Well, previously that would have been 25 to 30 years. That's why I call this a stealth tax. All of a sudden, that $1.5 million account that you thought your children would receive, and Jenny and Sally are both incredibly conservative with their spending, and you thought, you know, they're going to, if we pass away and they're, say, 45, they're going to take out the required minimum distribution, which would be about 2%. Well, now it's going to be at least 10% because it's going to be, they're going to have to take it over 10 years. Now, the Senate is said to say, they're saying they're going to require it over 5 years. Now, that'll be dramatic.
Oh, my gosh.
A huge tax increase, especially for the larger IRA accounts out there.
So when they do stuff like this and they move these the chess pieces on the board, you, as an investor, you have to change maybe some of the strategies because, you know, you do all this thoughtful planning of how you want things to play out. And when the rules are changed on you, you really want to go back to your financial advisor and some of maybe your tax professional and say, hey, the way I have it set up now, how is that going to look? Because it could be a whole different picture.
A very different picture, especially for these larger IRA accounts. 29.1, 29.3, depending on the day of the week, is the total amount in retirement accounts now.
29.3 trillion?
Trillion, excuse me, yes. Trillion with a T. Big numbers. Given that issue, what this is. If the average age of a retirement account was previously, let's say, given parents and children taking these RMDs over their lifetimes, it was 30 years. Well, now, for instance, it might be 20 years as an example. I've not looked at those numbers, but that's just, you know, an estimate from me.
So to the person listening who's going, I still don't understand why this is a big deal if I have to take it in 10 years mm-hmm. versus 30. Well, because that bumps you into a different tax bracket.
It could well do that.
So that's how it ends up affecting you. But what I found interesting was, I don't know if you have it memorized, Heidi, but the vote was...
There were three dissents. I don't know.
It was like hundreds against three.
Yeah.
So
exactly. That's why it was a bipartisan choice. It's going to pass in the mm-hmm. Senate. Now, what this means, too, is, well, that those accounts are going to be emptied, done with. This is not only the regular IRA. These are the Roth IRAs.
Yeah.
And that is the big one. That's especially painful. In fact, I was speaking to a friend about this. He said, well, that means I've got to live to 105, right? I said, well, yeah, you won't be able to smell it, feel it, taste it, or, you know, have any sensitivity about it. But, yeah, you'd need to live to 105 to achieve all the goals you'd want to in regards to not spending that Roth IRA. The problem is those children that do receive it, they've got to take it out over a 5 or 10 year period, depending on what the law winds up being. So significant tax advantage, they're just wiped away with this new tax law that most likely will pass in the fall.
And we will have to wait and see exactly how it all falls out, because once they go into conference together and see which rules and what survives, and but to know it's coming is a good yes. thing to pay attention
it's to. It's a precursor to the overall taxes that we're going to be seeing. These stealth taxes, I think, will only grow in size and amounts, and the taxes that individuals will pay and clients. So what do we do? We need to talk about how to change this. We need to change the modus operandi of what that the pieces of this. Given the popularity of retirement accounts, there's still an excellent way to save for retirement, but they're for your retirement. How do you change that in terms of who's going to inherit this, and how do you run away from this huge increasing tax?
It's almost like you need an advisor.
Almost like that.
Yeah. That's why I say there's never been more value in sitting with someone and saying, what are my options here? That's why we've been attending these conferences, and that's what they're talking about. And we're going to be having some of these people on in the next weeks and months to talk about what they're these strategies. The other big piece is the number of baby boomers who are going to be moving out of their businesses in the next 10 years, their percentages were astounding. They're saying 60 to 70% of all baby boomers who own businesses are going to be transitioning out. And at the same time, the number of those who sold their businesses and who were extremely disappointed with the result was about 75. 3 out of 4 business owners who sold 2 years later pulled, extremely disappointed in the results.
Of what they got received for the business? Or
not just what they received, but what actually happened to the business itself and how that transition worked. And what actually occurred as a result of that transition.
Which is really sad, because people put their life's work, and you hate to have them be so disappointed with how it pans out.
So if the market's flooded, I guess, over the next 10 years with businesses for sale, there may be some good bargains out there, too.
Could possibly be the case. Yeah. And it also presents an opportunity for those business owners who want to be thoughtful about how to make that transition that much more positive, not only for themselves, but those who might buy it, but to make certain that the value is there as well. The value, significant changes can occur in just 1 to 3 years, as we listen to the advisors talking about that. And that's one we definitely want to have a conversation with the particular gentleman that talked about that.
By the way, the Secure Act did pass 417-3.
Yeah, that was in the House.
In the House. And one of those voting nay was Justin Amash of Michigan, Republican. All three nay votes were Republicans.
Yeah. Interesting. All right.
All right. But 417 to 3. Not many votes like that.
Yeah.
No. So that one's, that's what we're saying. It's pretty much a done deal. She's got a stat here that kind of goes along with what we're talking about.
A record $806 billion of stock buybacks took place in the USA in 2018. Another $205 billion of buybacks occurred in the first quarter of 2019. What is a stock buyback?
That's when a company is buying back its own stock, as that phrase would indicate. So, Berkshire Hathaway, you know, whatever company it is, Coca-Cola. They happen to have extra money in their treasury, and they say, what do we think is the best investment to make right now in more Coke plants or, you know, whatever, or buying back our own stock because we think it's going to go up. They buy it back. It's on the open market. They can do that. They can buy it.
So some of that, they had
they own it then.
Corporate tax cuts kicked in last year. They think that's one of the reasons, maybe, that companies have more cash to buy back stock.
They certainly do because their costs have come down. But what does that do to the stock price generally? It tends to drive it up. It's also an indicator of the, obviously, that company thinks, and the board thinks, that's a good value.
Hmm.
There's value there that may not be necessarily obvious to the market itself and or the environment. Given the environment, this is a good time. The most recent earnings season, relatively positive. That would be an indicator further that these companies view that as a good investment to make.
So if you're a company, a corporation, and you say, we've got $30 million sitting around, let's buy some stock with that. Mm-hmm. And they go buy, well, just say $30 million worth of their own stock. So they take the money out of the bank, they buy the stock. Where's the money go then? It goes back in.
Well, it's they own it. In essence, it is liquid, so but they own that stock now.
Okay.
Yes.
So they're spending money, but then it's in the form. They just have stock. So hopefully it goes up. It's an investment.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Correct.
Shall we go to the telephone?
Yeah.
Mr. Dennis Prout in at 17 before the hour. Ben is in Williamsburg, Michigan. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was listening to your discussion on, inherited IRAs.
Yes.
And the changes that we anticipate for our heirs.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, so will those same rules, like the 5 or 10 year depletion, apply to assets that are held in a trust?
Well, is this an IRA first through a
yes.
trust?
IRA.
Yes.
Titled to a trust.
Yes. It will be required to be spent down over mm-hmm. that 10 year period, and that's another huge change. Changes afoot. Big time. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yes.
But that significantly changes, should change everyone's plan.
It does. And the implications, you're already getting this, I can tell, I think, anyway.
I'm sorry.
It's going to be, is going to cause a lot of people to say, well, okay, what do I do now?
Exactly.
What do we do
what
now?
What do I do now? What yes. do we do now? We have... If you set up a trust that you think protects your assets for your heirs, and then the government decides they need a larger chunk of your assets, and it changes the taxes for your children for
yes.
the next decades.
Dramatic change, huge increase, and that's what I call it a stealth tax.
Well,
this will be felt by them significantly, and so obviously you have some time to think about this,
yes.
but you're going to want to plan. What do we do in light of this upcoming change or most likely change that we will see, yes?
So one thought, and I won't take up any more time, is you may take a much greater distribution beginning at age 72 so that you draw down the assets significantly.
Yeah, you may decide that you want to pay the tax yourself, given today's relatively low tax environment if you're close to that age.
Right.
Or even not.
Or even not.
You know, right.
How much of the pool will be left, you know, 10 years after you're gone?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
so if the goal behind establishing a trust is to keep Uncle Sam from being your primary beneficiary, then you got to get busy.
Yep,
mm-hmm.
exactly right. Lots of
okay.
options there. That's one of many.
Right.
You bet. Thank you
for
calling.
I appreciate the time.
You're welcome.
Right, that's in reference to the SECURE Act, which you pointed out. The House passed 417-3, pretty bipartisan now in the Senate, but likely to pass by this fall.
Perhaps, and maybe even more severe than the House version.
Okay.
Yep.
A stealth tax will have widespread effects.
Absolutely. Because, fortunately or unfortunately, most of the assets out there, I would say 80% conservatively, held by individuals, is in retirement accounts. Again, $29 trillion currently over the deficit, the current debt of the government.
And the other big takeaway today, a lot of baby boomers that own businesses will be retiring, selling their businesses within the next 10 years.
So get prepared, both those who might be interested in buying and, of course, those who are interested in selling.
All right, to make an appointment if you'd like to visit with Dennis or Heidi or want to stop by and say hi to Shay someday.
yeah, just, stop by and say hi.
just call, what's the number again,
947-3992. So it's 231-947-3992.
And check the Prout Financial Design is on Facebook.
Facebook and iTunes, because we take every show and make it a podcast. So you can go to proutfinancialdesign.com, go to our radio show link. And don't forget, you can listen live from your thin, as Ron would say.
Thin.
Or also, you can listen online.
All right. Great to have you folks back in. See you next Thursday.
Thanks, Ron.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.